audio grabbing. Where are we at? Oh, 350.
You got this. You got
nerve in this one.
I have been told to let her know if you know somebody out there.
Where she's at?
15 bucks to shut him up.
I don't know. Hi, Roland.
75.
Oh, good call. Good yeah. call. Yes, yes. I just need a thin mic at the end of it. Price is Right rules.
I'm not going to let her know for you. I'm okay.
No, no, no. It's all going to a good cause. It's all going to a good cause.
Make him hold up
the punch card for Vertical Ventures is under Coffee for Kids. So if you go.
So it is currently 12:20 a.m. We're fresh into Monday here. I finally got a chance to sit down, process the evening's events, and I must say it was a success. And welcome to another episode of the Bike Shop Boyfriend. This is going to be episode 30, and here we go. So as you heard from the raw audio, it was a raucous affair. It was fairly loud. It was not, I'm not going to say impossible to have discussions with anyone at the event, but I will say that my man Paul did a spectacular job emceeing the evening, being on the microphone, asking me to come up. I felt like I was, there was a moment where I was a little deer in the headlights, but that's due to personal reasons that I won't be putting on the podcast here. It's more of an inside joke to those that need to know. But besides that, it's, you know what, I'll just say what the reasoning was. My ex-girlfriend actually is the sous chef for the venue that I work at, or that was, I don't work there. She works at that event and at the restaurant. And so, or the brew pub, I should even be saying. See, it still even has me flummoxed. There you go. So you see that person that you, it's the, one of the more recent breakups kind of thing. It happened a year ago, whatever, but I haven't really seen her since. So it was just one of those, hi, how you doing moments. Not terribly awkward, but still, you know, kind of sets you off, gets you off your game here. So if this episode's a little bit wonky, that's the reasoning why. But I'm gonna digress and actually get to the meat of the episode. Coffs for Kids had a great fundraiser. There was so many tickets for the prizes, as well as the silent auction on the jersey giveaway. They raised a heck of a lot of funds. I'm really stoked for the success of a first-time event like this that Coffs for Kids has done. I'm even more stoked that Michael Rusty Woods, Catherine Pendrell, Leah Kirchman, Phil Guyman, Jeremy Powers, Mark McConnell, aka Hot Sauce Cycling, and many other very generous athletes donated memorabilia from their personal team kit to this event to auction off for a great cause. I just want those athletes to know that Cops for Kids Winnipeg did a tremendous job representing you guys and doing you proud. So there you go. I think that's going to actually wrap it up for this particular section of the episode. But having said that, again, thank you to my man Paul for putting on such a great event. You did so well. I'm super proud of you for how it all came together. Also, a shout out to One Great City Brew Pub here locally for hosting it. And also to everyone who came out to check out the event and support such a great cause. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm not going to lie. I'm actually, for this next segment, very much in the downward trajectory of energy for doing the podcast at the moment. It is actually, I'm normally sleeping by this time in the morning, so I will be maybe slowly stalling out in terms of energy output for these segments, but bear with me, it's going to be worth it, I assure you. So I'm going to be traveling actually to Quebec City in midweek, and I'm not excited. I won't even say that's the word adjective that is coming to mind at the moment. What I am is somewhat leery of a lot of stuff going on. The Cops for Kids fundraiser, even though I had a very small part helping promote it mostly in that capacity, there's many other projects that I have on the go that need to be addressed before I take off. A few of them are bike fittings that I have and consultations that I have. Other ones are packing for travel. It is going to be an early morning flight, and also my own personal getting my poop / shit together before leaving and packing my bag, etc. Reminds me, I gotta find that bag. Anyways, but there's these weird things that I'm noticing in my daily that is I'm running out of coffee here. And normally I'm making these podcast episodes with coffee, and because I will be traveling and not enjoying said coffee in my living space, I'll be on the road. It didn't make much sense practically to purchase some coffee, and I was going to freeze it, but I do enjoy like getting my coffee nice and fresh, grinding it, etc., and brewing a cup. With that being said, I won't be doing it, and I didn't purchase some beans for the coming week, so I feel like I'm going to be a hard man pressed with first world problems here of not having great coffee for the time being. So yeah, I just want you to know that my struggle is real. But beyond that, actually, just due to the recent spring busyness going on, I've actually had a lack of training just due to all these commitments. And it's been very reassuring that being busy is good, but I do miss actually getting on my bike. And with the weather actually now faring to be... becoming more fair, I should be saying, it's more motivating to get outside. However, it's not terribly the best for the type of bike I have. Again, I have a race bike. I'm not wanting it to ride it when there's ice hidden by melting puddles, and those puddles are also hiding potholes. It's very easy to catch a wheel, go over your handlebars, injure yourself, and there goes a whole season. Not that I'm trying to promote fear in cycling. It's just that's a reality for the infrastructure that I live in. Probably it's something similar to you when you get into the shoulder seasons of your riding or off season, depending on where you're listening this to. Hi to any Australian listeners that are out there. That was a big thing that I've noticed recently, that it's been almost 2 weeks since I was last on my bike, getting a good training workout in. And time is wasting before we go to the Badlands to actually go hammer it up. So with that being said, I will be doing other types of activity, push-ups, body balance, body weight exercises and such, just to sort of make up for what I'm missing out on cardio-wise. But some of these projects that actually, and commitments that have come up, are bike shop related, and those are really good because it's been some last minute fittings and micro adjustments, and it sort of goes back to my ethos of and you'll probably hear this from other folks as well. Gary Vaynerchuk is actually a great podcast to sort of get motivated by, but he often will say doing the right thing is always the right thing. I couldn't agree more. There's been certain situations in the bike shop where doing the right thing by the customer is actually doing the right thing by the store, even though we might not be making money in the short term, meaning that particular day. I feel like in the long term, one, that customer might be buying more stuff in the future rather than turning them off from a particular purchase or dissatisfactory experience in customer service. It's all about the long game and playing the macro. But yes, we need to keep the lights on and such during the micro times too, obviously. So there's always this fine balance, and sometimes I have to, I feel like I have to just go what my gut feels of doing the right customer service, hospitality type feel to it. So yeah, being available for certain folks to come in, get a micro adjustment to their existing fitting. It's usually not a big deal. It's maybe 20 minutes to 40 minutes, depending on the severity of the adjustment. But sometimes it's even new riders, which is even more exciting. This past week, I helped a young rider who's getting into road cycling. His name's Ethan. He's already got himself a dirt jumper. He's got himself a spectacular mountain bike. He's more of a... you can definitely tell he gets more excited about off-road stuff than he would about road cycling. However, the cardio gains are to be made in road cycling to a large extent for him. So he's going to be giving that a try. He did pick up a former semi-pro athlete's bike, and I did fit it to him for how it's fitting right now. He's going to be, my guess, just due to his height for his age, his parents mentioning that he eats all the time. He's 13 years old, and I feel like he's going to be hitting a bit of a growth spurt this summer. So with that being said, I feel like the bike position that he's in now is actually going to adapt. His body is going to adapt to where the bike is. It's a little bit long in the reach, just on my personal notes of this one. But I think he's going to be quite all right and quite happy with road cycling this upcoming year. So shout out to my man, Ethan. You got yourself a sweet bike, and I'm very stoked for you there, bud. And last of these projects is a special Pinarello project. It's an F10 Dogma disc. Now, I have to give credit where credit is due. Yes, I was working with the customer in the initial setup of the bike and purchasing and selecting and such. But I have to give a shout out to my man, Alex, Katie, who goes by Catherine from time to time, as well as my man, Rudy. Together as a team, they really knocked it out of the park in terms of getting a customer exactly what they wanted, how they wanted it, and giving a customer like the most, I almost want to say, luxury experience that they could have. And with the bike, with a price tag the way it does, this particular one, it is well worth it. And I couldn't be more happy with my staff team. So yeah, I think that's what's been keeping me busy these past little bits. Busy in a good way. I'm really happy with the strides and the projects coming to an end and closing out. You'll see on Instagram photos of this particular Pinarello. It's a beautiful bike, and there's a lot of interesting engineering going into it. So check it out. You can always hit me up, Dustin, D-U-S-T-I-N-W-H-T. It's also my Twitter handle, so if you ever want to give me a shout, that's cool too. But the photos in question for the Pinarello are actually on that Instagram account, so check it out. So, also, what's been keeping me busy is actually interacting with real people from social media in a physical space. What I mean by that is I've actually had the very good fortune to just reach out to an existing magazine publication called Far Ride Magazine. And it actually was featuring two riders that were actually, I'm saying actually a lot, that were riding from west to east Canada, and they were doing the Trans-Canada Highway. In March, it's maybe advisable that's not the best idea. However, the photos that are coming out of that particular Instagram account are, bar none, some of the most beautiful shots I've seen taken from a bike and of riding the Trans-Canada. Winter riding is not terribly advisable. They often shut down certain passes in the Rockies, which is the West Coast area of, or the western part of Canada. And fortunate enough that the two riders, Kalem and Sogun, both cleared it, and they made it into the prairies, and they quickly realized how vast the prairies themselves are. It was very cool to hear insights from both of the riders, and it was even more remarkable to host them briefly for an afternoon, coming into the bike shop, and we got to actually check out their particular bikes. 3T, the bike brand, has created the 3T Strada, and these are one buy only bikes. They're actually race bikes that fit a 28C tire. They're disc brake, and they actually have no spot available for a front derailleur, so you have to run it as a one by. They're very uniquely engineered in terms of, there's a lot that I like in the bike. Personally, I'm a huge fan of external bottom brackets, even though I don't have one on any of my existing bikes except for my track bike. Anyways, that's one of those things that I would like to see in that particular frame. But the fact that it's press fit bearings is totally okay too. However, that the fellas were riding the entire width of Canada for the most part. They were going to be stopping in their trip concludes in New Brunswick, by the way. Sogun is riding Kalem home, and Kalem's a native of New Brunswick, and so they're headed out east. Last I checked, they were still in the Canadian Shield making their way to the Maritimes. But it was very cool to actually meet people that I've been just chatting with online for the most part, and through social, Instagram, direct messaging, and all this, coordinating timetables and schedules. Finally meeting them in the flesh, shaking a hand, and talking shop and showing them around the shop for the most part. So it was super, super cool. And I can't stress enough, you have to check out Far Ride Magazine. Their Instagram account is absolutely gorgeous. And the publication, I've yet to get my hands on it. I will be ordering a copy and also some back issue copies. Absolutely stunning photos and reportage of riding, and it really motivates you to just get out and explore the world that we live in on two wheels if you can. So that's sort of my aspirational moment of the day. Also, if you do want to see these photos and you want to see them a little quicker and you don't want to go through the Far Ride Magazine account, etc., check out hashtag Far Ride Transcan. Again, that's Far Ride Transcan. Hashtag just to edit and see all the photos that they're posting up. They are truly spectacular. Great sort of insight in the diary behind the scenes for what they're doing. Yeah, it was a pleasure meeting you two fellas. Hopefully we get a chance to see you back here in the prairies, maybe for a bit of a gravel ride. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. It's late. I can come up with these weird ideas. So I'm joking, but seriously, we'll probably have a gravel ride and definitely invite them to come out and check it out. So stay tuned more for that. I am hoping actually to get Kalem on the podcast here in the future, very near future, hopefully. Possibly by the end of April. That's sort of, I think, the time that we're sort of sketching it out for. And hopefully that all goes to plan. So fingers crossed on that one. I'm hoping to actually have quite a few guests and in collaborations actually on these episodes. So once again, check out Far Ride Magazine. Again, thank you to Far Ride Magazine for coming to Winnipeg and visiting our shop. It was truly an honor and a pleasure to meet you guys. And hopefully your legs hold up all the way to New Brunswick there. So good on you. Cheers. So the last segment of the Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast, episode 30, is something that's been on my mind for just a little bit, and I think I'm finally putting it together in terms of articulated thought. It's going to be supply chains, and I've recently noticed that some of the bike brands that we carry in the shop and ones that we don't, and this is probably just me on an external side seeing what other shops are able to do. Supply chains for like a lot of the component manufacturers, there's a weird sort of phenomenon going on here where they're launching product before they actually even have it in stock, if that makes sense. So it's advertising and putting it on for sale. However, you won't get your hands on it for a few months because there's just not enough product there to be shipped. Obviously, this makes it kind of, well, my life and our lives in a bike shop a little bit of an inconvenience in many regards. This is actually going back to the previous segments where I was mentioning the special Pinarello project. There's actually four of these Pinarellos on the go, and each one of them has their own particular shopping list of wants and what's actually going to be going on these bikes. Some of them, and I'm going to, there's only so many manufacturers to name. So Shimano actually had partial launching of some of their latest Dura-Ace lineup, and a big problem of this was the wheel set. And the wheel set is actually still not even due until April. However, it is being shipped onto stock bikes that are coming from a lot of these brands. However, due to the nature of the way we receive Pinarellos here in Canada, it is a frame set, and then you sort of customize how you want to put the bike together. So then you have to, you get to choose which group set you would like, which trim, meaning cockpit, saddle, all that good stuff, including wheels. So it was a bit of a chore for us to get our hands on these latest Dura-Ace disc brake wheels, as well as some of the other smaller bits and pieces. And I just want to say, I have to give kudos to certain brands, actually, in fact, for advertising a bike and actually having it in stock when they do. And that's going to be Norco as well as Trek for actually having that stock already in line for us to order. And it's actually available before it even launches. However, just due to media embargoes in the bike shop, we can't tell you that we can sell you that bike. However, maybe if you come and talk to me, I can maybe sell you a bike. I don't know. Wink, wink. But having said that, it's just one of those things that having stock before we are allowed to sell it, it just makes our lives so, so much easier. I can tell you from a organizational standpoint, we actually put in a lot of our booking orders a year prior to when they're going to be arrived, as well as sold in some cases. For instance, Fat Bikes, which is a very much a winter activity here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And it's one of those things that Norco and Trek actually sell very, very few of. And because of that, we have to put in our orders so that way they know how much they need to make, and they don't want to run for overstock and be hanging on to product that they might not be able to sell. So with that being said, we are pretty adamant about getting a certain number of these bikes in our possession so that way we can sell them to the public. But this past year, they made less bikes than they intended to, and we didn't receive quite as many. And we actually went through so many of our bikes, Fat Bikes in our case, that we had to outsource it to, or we had to take on another bike brand to sort of fill in that gap. And yeah, it just kind of made things a bit more complicated for us. The season was still going and we sold out of product. It's one of those good problems to have, however. But when the market actually wants that particular product and you're trying to supply and give them an alternative, you're kind of you're kind of vulnerable in the sale aspect of things, because it's not necessarily what people want anymore. So with that being said, Norco and Trek Bicycle, they're doing phenomenal work making sure that us bike brick and mortar retailers actually have we're able to get our hands on some of the stock. Now, I will say Giant in the past has been really good, but for whatever reason, I feel that the distribution is maybe not being communicated well enough in some cases. And that's not a slight, it's just a comment, actually. Giant is still like a great brand to actually call up and work with. It's just I've noticed that from my time in the shop the past couple years, there's like bikes being offered and yet we put in an order for it and then all of a sudden it becomes back ordered and we don't know when it's actually supposed to arrive and then time of arrival, etc., etc. It becomes a bit of a song and dance trying to tell it to a customer, and sometimes that we can lose a sale on that, and then Giant loses money too, right? So that sort of is how it goes. So I just wanted to get that off my chest and sort of vent that thought out. I don't see it there actually being a solution. I just see it as like a possible best business practice to just make sure that if you are going to be advertising, launching a new product, just have it in stock before you even decide to launch it. Apple sort of realized this a long time ago when they started releasing iPhones, and it is sort of their business model when it does come to launch. Don't talk about it like that you're going to sell it unless you don't actually have the product to sell. So they're probably going to, and I think Giant's actually going to up their game too in the coming months and years when it comes to these launches. In fact, you're kind of seeing it now with trade shows that bike brands are just not attending as much. And whenever they are releasing a product, they're doing their own launch and not really relying on trade shows to distribute the information and the hype of that launch. They're doing it more one-on-one with bike reviewer agencies like Bike Radar, Cycling Tips, Velo News, all the go-to people, the Radivist, you name them. They're kind of doing it on their own terms and sort of controlling the message, I would say, in that regard. But they would also often have product to actually distribute at that time as well. So for what it's worth, I just want to say, like, I just want bike brands to sort of get their act together a little bit and just make sure you have product to launch when you're debuting a new product. There's nothing worse than creating a demand and actually having no product to capitalize on. Everyone kind of loses. The brand can sometimes lose faith. The customer can lose faith in that brand. And brand is really just reputation in the end, if you think about it. So if that's the case, it sort of makes a disparaging relationship going forward. So you have to kind of give kudos to SRAM when they release a new group set. They often have it in store within weeks of debuting it officially. So kudos to them. And with that being said, that's going to conclude episode 30 of the Bike Shop Boyfriend podcast. If you have any, I want to give a huge shout out and thank you to everyone who is listening on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and of course, the OG itself, Anchor.fm. I couldn't do this without hearing comments, the applause button on the Anchor.fm button, app, I should say. The reviews that I'm reading on iTunes and Google Play, thank you so much. Those who are coming up to me in person, in fact, a few of you, shaking my hand and saying, "Hey, big bike shop boyfriend, pleased to meet you." It's kind of making me blush just a little bit, even if my skin doesn't change color, I am. And I just want to say thank you so much for listening. I do hope you enjoy these episodes. If you have any questions, comments, or topics you want me to sort of cover, hit me up at DustinWHT. That's my Twitter handle as well as my Instagram handle. Again, that's going to be DustinWHT. I'm always happy to hear from you. I would love to hear from you still. If you've already commented, feel free to keep commenting. It's a great conversation to have with all of you. So until then, enjoy. Big week coming up. Some of the podcast is going to be coming from a different location, so stay tuned for that. Hopefully you all have a great week, and we'll hear from you soon. Cheers. Peace.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.